It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Stormy weather. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Yeah, rumbles of thunder and the risk of flooding today as heavy wind-swept rain makes its way from the south this afternoon. Parts of Pennsylvania and the southern tier of New York about to get pounded. Kevin Williams keeping an eye on things for us from the Weather Center. His forecast is yours coming up. There are signs of hope today in the fight against coronavirus. A drug created to treat Ebola continues to show promise.
For the first time, I can say we are on offense rather than defense.
The medical community downright giddy after clinical trials showed promising results for the drug remdesivir. Ian Lee continues our coverage.
Dr. Anthony Fauci announced the drug showed promise in fighting COVID-19.
The data shows that remdesivir has a clear-cut, significant positive effect.
It improved patient recovery time from 15 days to 11.
That drug is administered through an IV only. It's not in pill form, not yet. It is not a vaccine either. But experts say it should be the frontline treatment at hospitals nationwide to help the sickest of the sick. Reporter Tom Costello.
Vanderbilt University said they've known about this med. They've been encouraged about this med for 7 years, believing it would be used if there were a coronavirus pandemic, and now that's exactly what they're facing.
The FDA approving use of the drug as soon as today. President Trump laying out his vision for life in a post-pandemic America.
With or without a vaccine, the president is looking forward to the return of packed restaurants and filled stadiums.
I don't want people to get used to this, because this virus is going to be gone. And when it's gone, you want to get back to normal.
Even though some health experts are not as optimistic and anticipate a new normal, Mr. Trump wants to resume campaigning like he did before the pandemic.
I hope that we're going to be able to do some good old-fashioned 25,000-person rallies.
Greg Clugston, Washington.
Beach closed. California announcing it's shutting down all of its beaches this weekend.
Governor Newsom is ordering all beaches in the state and all state parks closed. This comes after thousands of beachgoers descended onto Southern California beaches last weekend when temperatures in some places reached the 90s. The order takes effect tomorrow.
Steve Futterman in L.A. Florida, meantime, taking small steps to open back up. Restaurants and retailers will start opening their doors come Monday.
What we're going to do is allow outdoor seating with social distancing, so you need to have at least 6 feet apart. And then indoors, they can do 25% capacity.
Governor Ron DeSantis' South Florida will remain closed for now. At least 25 states will ease stay-at-home orders this weekend. So what does the law say when it comes to businesses reopening in the midst of a pandemic?
It's sort of the same as driving a car, that if somebody fails to exercise reasonable care and they cause an accident, they can be held liable.
That's Vince Johnson. He's the dean of St. Mary's Law School in Texas.
They don't have to be super cautious. They don't have to go beyond the exercise of reasonable care. They simply have to be reasonable and prudent and careful.
New York and Pennsylvania hope to begin phased-in reopening plans starting next month. 3.8 million of us filed for unemployment last week. That brings to more than 30 million the total number of out of work since mid-March. There's encouraging news from one country that once had one of the highest COVID-19 infection rates anywhere in the world.
South Korea has recorded zero new local COVID-19 cases in today's update. Just 2 months ago, we reached a daily infection peak of 909.
That's Alex Jensen in South Korea. There's been so many heartbreaking stories from the hospital front lines of this pandemic. Correspondent David Begno puts a face on the tragedy for us when he tells us about 56-year-old Pamela Orlando.
The nurse from New Jersey worked three jobs. She was a breast cancer survivor and a single mom to 16-year-old Ryan and 23-year-old Reed.
I begged my mother to not go to work, but that's not who my mom was.
From home, she started to document what would be the end of her life.
Today I have a fever that I can't get rid of.
By day three, she was hospitalized where she works.
This is no joke. I am so uncomfortable.
On the fifth day,
I feel horrible.
Later in the day, she was struggling just to talk.
Move without being short of breath.
Pamela posted 5 more videos, but she didn't speak.
She was trying to log every day of the sickness to show the masses or whoever would watch it how this deathly virus can progress.
That's tough stuff there. David Begno reporting from hard-hit New Jersey. A North Carolina family dog, believed to be the first canine in this country to test positive for coronavirus, Dr. John Howe with the American Veterinary Medical Association.
We really haven't seen any cases in dogs other than this one now that was, you know, from human to the dog, but all it means is the virus passed through the dog without really making the dog ill.
And the dog's owners also expected to make a full recovery. Much more ahead on today's Noon Report for a Thursday. We'll tell you why homeschooling may go on much longer than previously thought. A closer look at nursing homes and why they've become such breeding grounds for the virus. And a veto by Governor Wolf is drawing the ire of pro-life Pennsylvania.
Well, good afternoon. We're tracking an area of heavy rain that'll be shifting east across central New York and central and eastern Pennsylvania this afternoon with rumbles of thunder and the risk of flooding. I'll be back with forecast details coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin. Thank you very much. Checking the stories, making news where you live. Across New York and Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania's Education Secretary Pedro Rivera warns schools in the Commonwealth may not reopen in the fall. In fact, he says there's a very good chance they won't. Rivera adds, until the state can get a grip on COVID-19, kids will not see the inside of a classroom for a very long time.
At the end of the day, we're going to make sure that the health and welfare of our students is first and foremost, front and center. And we're not going to allow and ask students to return to school in an unsafe environment.
The education chief says the education department is working with rural and urban schools where students may not have access to online learning. So what will school look like once the kids do go back? Family Life's Bill Price takes a closer look.
We know the kiddos won't be returning this academic year in Pennsylvania. In New York, Governor Cuomo is set to make an announcement soon, perhaps today or tomorrow. This thing we do know for sure, school will eventually happen again. Once it does, the experts say you can expect things to look a whole lot different. Desks won't be as close together. Hand washing will be done a whole lot more often. Online learning also taking off, we're told. Activities that cram kids together will be eliminated. Students could be eating lunches at their desks, and class sizes might be reduced. Of course, districts won't have nearly as much money to do all of these things, as this health crisis has severely pinched the educational purse strings. Bill Price, Family Life News.
Things will be different for sure. Thank you, Bill. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signing an executive order yesterday that allows elective surgeries in some hospitals.
That's primarily in counties upstate, counties where we're still worried about a surge in the COVID beds. We're not going to open it up to elective surgery until we know we're out of the woods on the COVID virus.
In order for the state to reopen starting May 15th, the governor says at least 30% of hospital beds must be available once those elective surgeries resume. New York is now conducting on average 30,000 coronavirus tests every day. Well, nursing homes have become breeding grounds for the virus. Steve Hands with the New York State Health Facilities Association.
The average age of a nursing home resident or an assisted living resident for that matters, 83. They are individuals with multiple chronic diseases and conditions, and they are the least able to fight off this virus.
There have been more than 3,000 COVID-19 related deaths in New York nursing homes since mid-March. Dr. Bruce Trowin at the University of Buffalo School of Medicine.
So what's important for folks to know is that even in a normal, non-COVID-19 pandemic time, there are about 1 to 3 million serious infections that occur every year in long-term care facilities. As many as 380,000 people die of these infections every year.
60% of nursing homes today are operating with severe staffing issues. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf announcing tomorrow which regions of the state will open first. Starting next Friday, Health Secretary Rachel Levine says the color-coded COVID-19 comeback plan will be gradual.
usual.
It is very important to remember that social distancing and wearing a mask are still going to be important when we move from red to yellow.
The top doc says even during the summer months, there's a good chance mass gatherings will be off limits.
If we move too quickly, we will see that more people will become sick and more people will tragically pass away.
The Wolf administration says results from testing and tracing will be key factors in deciding which regions can relax the restrictions first. New York's unemployment rate now worse than it's been at any time since the Great Depression. Here's Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
The economic devastation started just 1 month ago. Since then, one out of every nine workers have filed for unemployment. Estimated jobless claims are up to 14% in central New York, which would be the highest it's ever been in modern history. Layoffs, temporary pay cuts, furloughs, fewer hours, and reduced benefits have hit workers hard in every field. Some are relying on an extra $600 a week in unemployment insurance, but most can't even access that because the state system for jobless benefits is overloaded. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. For the second year in a row, New York has lost more of its population than any other state in America. New census data reveals 25 upstate counties have lost people 9 years in a row. The mass exodus means New York could lose up to two seats in the U.S. House when results of the 2020 census are announced next year. Legislation to end child marriages in Pennsylvania on its way to the governor's desk. That measure sets the state minimum marrying age at 18. Currently, state law allows those under 16 to get married with parental permission. Governor Wolf has just vetoed a telemedicine bill, and all because Planned Parenthood didn't like it. That measure would have extended or expanded telehealth, but it also mandated greater oversight of the abortion industry. Here's Family Life's Terry Diener.
The veto drew strong criticism from Republican lawmakers and pro-life groups who condemned Wolf for siding with pro-abortion activists and ignoring what they call the needs of underserved Pennsylvanians for access to medical care. The bill would have allowed the remote delivery of health care services online. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Will there be baseball this year? Sports is next. It's the 2-Minute Drill with Sonny Delphia.
Thank you, Bobby. There's a new report that Major League Baseball is cautiously optimistic they can start the season by late June. New York Mets first baseman Pete Alonso telling NBC News.
We're just in uncharted waters, not just from a league standpoint, but as a country.
USA Today reports that a new plan being explored could include teams playing at least 100 regular season games in big league ballparks with no fans and seats at least to start. In addition, the league would split into a three-division format based on geography so teams could travel less. The Yankees, Mets, Phillies, Pirates, and Blue Jays would all play in the same division. It's official now. The Baseball Hall of Fame announced it has canceled induction ceremonies for this year's class. And this year's inductees will be enshrined along with next year's new members on July 25th, 2021. The 2020 class highlighted by former Yankee shortstop Derek Jeter. The Cincinnati Bengals have reportedly released quarterback Andy Dalton 1 week after selecting LSU quarterback Joe Burrow with the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Cincinnati selected Andy Dalton with the third pick in the second round in 2011. He went on to rank first in franchise history with 204 passing touchdowns and second with 31,594 passing yards. Dalton earned three Pro Bowl selections and helped lead the Bengals to five postseason appearances, though they never won a playoff game during his tenure. Brett Favre believes 37-year-old Aaron Rodgers will finish his career elsewhere after the Packers selected Jordan Love with the first pick in this year's draft. Favre, who ironically orchestrated his own departure from the Packers in 2008 when they selected Rodgers, said he was surprised Green Bay took a quarterback with the first pick after reaching the NFC Championship game last season. And NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, who makes over $30 million per year, has voluntarily reduced his salary to $0 this month. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report, was Flynn framed? A conversation with Congressman Tom Reed, and we'll tell you about the drug that could make the difference.
You're in a conversation and someone says, since God cares about the oppressed, Christians should embrace critical theory, because that's all about eliminating oppression. What would you say? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. If you haven't heard the terms intersectionality and critical theory, your children likely have, at least if they're in college or even high school. What began as an academic theory decades ago has become a dominant way of seeing human relationships, at least for many. There are the oppressed and there are the oppressors. In the latest What Would You Say video, Joseph Backholm describes how critical theory reduces human beings to categories according to race, gender, sexual preference and orientation, income, and on and on. Because some groups of people are more privileged than others, identifying one's group ultimately determines their moral authority. Intersectionality, as Joseph explains, is an attempt to solve the problem of belonging to more than one group by measuring out the level of oppression a person experiences due to their various identities. So how should a Christian look at critical theory and intersectionality? Are these concepts compatible with Christianity? Well, here's part of Joseph Backholm's response from the latest What Would You Say video.
Critical theory and intersectionality are not consistent with Christianity, and here are three reasons why. First, critical theory offers a different view of humanity than Christianity. Critical theory claims that our identity as human beings is rooted in things like race and gender, features that differ from person to person. But the Bible grounds our identity as human beings and the value every human has in the fact that we are created in God's own image. Critical theory pits some groups of people against other groups based on their status as oppressors or oppressed. The Bible says that we are all equal before God, created equal, equally valuable, equally guilty of sin, and equally able to find grace and mercy in Jesus. Which leads to the second point. Critical theory offers a different view of sin than Christianity. The Bible identifies sin as anything that violates God's design for people, including unjust oppression of other people. But critical theory identifies sin only as oppression. As a result, advocates of critical theory would see biblical practices such as discipleship, correction, leadership, and reproof as sinful assertions of power if the speaker is among the oppressors, and would excuse sins like jealousy, anger, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, or envy among the oppressed. The Bible says that we are all guilty before God, regardless of social status, race, or economic situation. The Bible condemns oppression as one of, but certainly not the only way in which humans rebel against God. Because critical theory gets the problem wrong, it also gets the solution wrong, which leads to the third point. Critical theory offers a different view of salvation than Christianity. According to the Bible, because we are all equally guilty of sin, salvation can only be found in Jesus through repentance. Our hope is found in being forgiven of sin. Because critical theory teaches that oppressors are guilty and the oppressed are not, salvation for the oppressed is found not through repentance, but in social liberation here and now. Their hope is only through activism. In other words, critical theory has a completely different understanding of who we are, what the problem is, and how to fix it than Christianity.
Come to whatwouldyousay.org for the full video. That's whatwouldyousay.org. Or subscribe to the What Would You Say channel on YouTube. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Stormy times are here. Let's get the weather lowdown next with Kevin.
Here is your family life weather forecast. A cold front working slowly west to east across the region will bring heavy rain shifting east across our region today, focusing ultimately on central New York, the Finger Lakes, and central and eastern Pennsylvania, where there can be flooding and rumbles of thunder. That's our call for this afternoon. Now, farther west, western New York and western Pennsylvania, those rains taper into a few showers, temperatures peaking in the 60s for most. Some leftover showers tonight and tomorrow. Low tonight, 50s. The high tomorrow, 50s and low 60s. But by Saturday, it's brighter, drier, nicer.
All right, Kevin Williams, thank you very much. We should mention the hottest weather of the year has descended on the Central Plains. Check this out. Forecast today, 80 degrees in Denver. That's 25 degrees above normal. Much of New Mexico, Kansas, Oklahoma, and broad stretches of Texas going to top 90 today. West Texas will see highs over 100. Record highs expected in Phoenix, Albuquerque, and El Paso. Explosive new documents have come to light showing top officials at Jim Comey's FBI tried to entrap former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Recently revealed handwritten notes written
written by the former head of counterintelligence after a meeting with Comey suggests that agents planned this scheme during the presidential transition period. Former U.S. Attorney Andy McCarthy.
For years, a number of us have been arguing that this looked like a perjury trap. We're now seeing the paper trail start to catch up with what common sense has said for a long time.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham wants more answers into the Fed's shady dealings with Flynn.
General Flynn deserved better from his government. He was willing to die for his country. The people who were involved in this, I hope, will be held to account. Attorney General Barr is beginning to right wrongs. There's a lot more coming.
4 days after the president took office in January of 2017, FBI agents were dispatched to the White House to speak to Flynn about his conversations with Russia. Flynn attorney Sidney Powell calls the Fed's actions an abuse of power.
It's just absolutely appalling what these agents did to General Flynn. It's abuse of their authority at every turn. They were determined to take him out.
In short, Powell says Flynn was framed. The attorney general's order a review of his case. General Flynn pled guilty to lying to the FBI after serving just 3 weeks as national security advisor. The Labor Department says another 3.8 million Americans filed for unemployment last week.
That brings our six-week total to over 30 million Americans. It's unbelievable. Again, this erases all job creation since the entire recovery, so back to the financial crisis.
Business analyst Jill Schlesinger, a New York City ER doctor who'd been treating coronavirus patients for weeks, has committed suicide. Dr. Lorna Breen was the medical director of a hospital in Manhattan. Her sister, Jennifer.
She had COVID, and I believe that it altered her brain. And for somebody whose life's calling is helping people, and she just couldn't help enough people, and the combination was just untenable.
The 49-year-old doctor who'd been infected by the virus told her family of the pain she felt, coping with so much death around her.
She said it was like Armageddon. She said, there are so many sick people everywhere. She said people are just dying in the waiting room before they even get in.
Her hospital releasing a statement praising Dr. Breen as a hero who brought the highest ideals of medicine to the front lines of this pandemic. Evidence today that an antiviral drug might help patients recover more quickly from this virus. It's called remdesivir, a drug created to treat Ebola.
It's a medicine that prevents the virus from growing.
What it is proven is that a drug can block this virus.
It is not a vaccine, but it does reduce the recovery time of COVID-19 patients by over 30%. Reporter Tom Costello.
People out of the hospital in 11 days instead of 15, and also the mortality rate dropped. So now the NIH says this should be the frontline treatment at hospitals to help the sickest of the sick.
The FDA expected to approve its use as soon as today. By the weekend, no fewer than 25 states will have taken action to ease stay-at-home orders. Federal social distancing guidelines expire at midnight tonight, and correspondent Stephen Portnoy tells us there is no appetite to extend them.
The president hosted executives eager to see the country reopen, including the CEO of Hilton Hotels.
What we're hearing from our customers is that they're desperate to get back out.
Mr. Trump seems desperate to leave the White House, too. He's only been out of the building once since early March. He says he'll travel to Arizona next week, possibly Ohio after that.
We're going to start to move around, and hopefully in the not-too-distant future, we'll have some massive rallies and people will be sitting next to each other.
That, he says, would depend on the conditions in a given state. Stephen Portnoy, Washington.
Next at noon, a conversation with New York Congressman Tom Reed about the way forward from coronavirus. The president said on the front end of this thing weeks ago that the cure cannot be worse than the disease. That's a question I ask myself every day. Has that happened, in your opinion?
We are getting to that point. I mean, the economic devastation that is going off and the high unemployment and the bankruptcies that are foreseeable on the future. If we don't get America back to work sooner rather than later, the devastation associated with that and the public health impacts. So you remember, when you go into a Great Depression, there are deaths, there are impacts on public health that are dire. And the numbers on public health of the virus could pale in comparison to that type of situation. Now, that's why we're working hard to avert it. So I'm glad to see we're going down the regional approach and We were able to convince the governor to get Western New York up and running and treat us differently than New York City. But we got to hold them accountable to that, and because the biggest cure to all this is get people back to work, get some sort of economic activity, and people will take care of themselves rather than have government take care of it.
Well, phase four of the stimulus package is forthcoming. This will be the funds for state and local governments. The House Speaker has already said that it's not safe to return, so it won't happen next week. When's the earliest we can expect this, Tom?
Well, you know, it's probably going to be sometime around May 15th through June 1st. I mean, we've got some cliffs that are developing in the legislation, so I think that's a realistic time frame, maybe bleed over to June 15th. But that's why we have to get back to work. And if we're not going to go in person, at least we should engage in technology and remote type of debating of legislation. We cannot have four people, Speaker Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, and Chuck Schumer, sitting in a room and deciding the fate of 320 million Americans and spending $3 to $5 trillion.
Congressman Tom Reed on the Lifeline with us today talking about the COVID-19 global pandemic. The numbers now topping a million nationwide. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said, I think it was last week, there is not going to be a blue state bailout. Really drew the ire of Governor Cuomo, making some seem to suggest that New York may file for bankruptcy, the state looking at a $15 billion deficit, much of that due to coronavirus. You're on record opposed to bankruptcy. What would that look like, and how dangerous would that be?
Yeah, no, bankruptcy would be something that's unprecedented, and it's something that it shows you the magnitude of the economic crisis, even that Mitch McConnell, to put that on the table. He's a responsible legislator. That puts that on the table shows you how bad the economic numbers look.
Yeah.
Why would that be so bad? Because you destroy the bond, you destroy the borrowing capacity, the bond market would go down, all the cost of borrowing would go up through the roof, and that would hit every American in every part of the country.
Yeah. What are you doing to protect your district and the funds? We mentioned phase four, maybe mid-May, late May. Still a lot of work to do on that. But what are your concerns, or what are you doing to keep the governor from trying to take the money meant for local governments?
So I am, I've been working for 3 weeks now, and one of the key things I'm going to be supporting in the state local aid fight, and we've got many members to support, is that when we get direct local aid to local governments, where federal government goes directly to the city hall, to the county legislature, and give them assistance, New York State, when it takes its money, the governor's going to have to commit that it will not reduce that money that's already committed to those local governments in the state budget. Happens all the time, Bob. When I was mayor, they would take out of my pocket lines that were coming to me from the state government. And because we got money from the federal government, they said, well, we'll take that away from you. And that type of shenanigan cannot happen. It just happened in Phase 3 of the CARES Act with education money. Now, the state received money and still went forward with education cuts to our school districts when they should never have done that. That to me is just an example of this practice of bait and switch being alive and well in Albany.
Well, the best phase four is a back-to-work plan. A number of states are doing that as we speak. New York won't be doing that for a couple more weeks. Pennsylvania, where we also broadcast May 8th at the earliest. So in the meantime, there's these stimulus bills, three down, one to go. I was blown away by the statistic from the Small Business Administration that says a business in this country goes under every hour during this pandemic, and many of those businesses sadly will not come back. I know you guys see all these statistics too, but will there be any kind of coming back from this?
There has to be, and I'm the eternal optimist, and I know working together we're going to get through it stronger, but the biggest thing we can do is get the economy going again. These bankruptcies, these devastating state government and local government projections, the collapse of the agricultural community, that has all been driven because government has come in and said to the $22 trillion U.S. economy, no demand. You have to stay in place. You have to shut down. And if you don't have demand in your economy, there's no cash flow. There's no money coming through the system. And so we have to get people back to work. We can do it safe enough. We can respect the virus. We have enough of capacity now to do that with testing. We can do it. Just let us do it. Let the people lead us through this.
New York Congressman Tom Reed speaking to Family Life News earlier today. This is the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast.
A cold front working slowly west to east across the region will bring heavy rain shifting east across our region today, focusing ultimately on central New York, the Finger Lakes, and central and eastern Pennsylvania, where there can be flooding and rumbles of thunder. That's our call for this afternoon. Now, farther west, western New York and western Pennsylvania, those rains taper into a few showers. Temperatures peaking in the 60s for most. Some leftover showers tonight and tomorrow. Low tonight, 50s. The high tomorrow, 50s and low 60s. But by Saturday, it's brighter, drier, nicer. Sunshine, some mixed clouds. High temperatures Saturday ranging in the mid-50s to the middle 60s.
All right, Kevin Williams at the Weather Center. Thank you very much. And finally at noon today, happy 100th birthday to one remarkable human being. Talking about Tom Moore, a British World War II vet, turning 100 today. This guy's helped raise nearly $40 million for the COVID-19 fight by walking around his outdoor garden. Correspondent Vicky Barker.
It's hard to believe Captain Tom Moore began this month in obscurity after his fundraising goal of walking 100 laps in his backyard before his 100th birthday went viral.
There he is.
That 100th lap was on live television here.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head.
He recorded a hit single and became the oldest Brit to top the charts, unseating 79-year-old Tom Jones.
If I was going to lose to anybody, it's an honor to have lost to you.
Prince William and Kate's birthday card among the 1.25 million he's received so far. Vicky Barker, London.
How about that? Way to go, Tom Moore. A very happy 100th. Today. And that's the world we live in today, Thursday, April the 30th. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.